Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas with your family. And, of course, I also want to wish you a Happy New Year this weekend and a year of blessedness in the Lord Jesus Christ for all of us. Please, Lord. So, we've got one of the most amazing passages anywhere in the Bible for us to study today. We're going to get into it. But first, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the beginning of a new year. And I pray that in 2022, you, Lord Jesus, would be merciful to us as individuals, be merciful to us as a nation and as a human race. I pray that you would stop this COVID situation. Lord, just stop it by your power. I pray, turn this COVID virus into something no longer threatening to the human race. And Lord, I just pray that in each one of our lives, 2022 would be a year of increased commitment, increased love, increased devotion to you. Lord Jesus, speak to us today deeply from your word as we learn more about your plan of salvation and how it operates. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on. And amen. You got it. Now, we are in John chapter 3. We have already advanced in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, to the triumphal entry and into Jerusalem by the Lord Jesus. And now we're catching up to that point in John chapter 12 by doing the first 11 chapters of the book of John. And it's just, this is just some of the greatest passages, some of the greatest scripture in the Bible. Now today in John chapter 3, we pick up where we left off with our friend Nicodemus. Remember, Nicodemus was a rabbi on steroids. A member of the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee. And he had all this religious activity dripping off of him, but he didn't know that whether he had eternal life. And so he came to Jesus by night, surreptitiously, secretly, so that nobody would see him, and nobody would know that he came. And he asks Jesus about eternal life. And Jesus says to him, okay, Nicodemus, I'm just going to cut right to the chase and tell you what God's plan of salvation is all about. You must be born again. You must be born afresh, spiritually, not physically a second time, but spiritually, because you, like every other human being, come into the world spiritually dead to God. We'll talk about that next week. So Nicodemus doesn't get it. He just is completely confused. So finally Jesus says to him, okay, Nicodemus, I'm going to make this real clear, as clear as it could possibly be. And to do this, Jesus goes back to an event in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers. Now, if Jesus had not referred to this event in the New Testament, it's highly likely that very few Christian would even know about this passage. But because Jesus pulls this passage out of the book of Numbers and puts it right here in John chapter 3, it is critical that we understand this passage, because he says, like things happened in that passage with Moses, that's how the plan of salvation works. Look, let's pick up John chapter 3, and of course we're using the New King James Version of the New Testament. Here we go. Now look in John chapter 3, let's put it on the screen, verse 14. Jesus says, all right, let me make it simple. He says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, would you notice Jesus believed Moses was a real person and that the events of the book of Numbers were genuine occurrences. Okay, that's how deeply he believed the Bible. Look, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, does that sound a little familiar, the end of that verse? He shall not perish, but have eternal life. Yeah, that's the end of John 3:16, which comes next. Look, four. Now stop. What that means is that John 3:16 is not the independent clause in this paragraph. It's not the primary sentence in this paragraph. For, because, means that John 3:16 is giving some explanatory information about John 3:14 and 15. You with me? I didn't have any problem with my foot when I hit it against the furniture, for, because I had a shoe on. So the key element in that passage is not I had a shoe on. The key element is I didn't have any damage to my foot. You follow me? So the key passage here is as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the main point. For, here's why I say this, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is why God sent his Son. He sent his Son so that if you would believe in him like the people did the serpent in the wilderness, you'd have eternal life. And there's one more explanatory phrase, verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay, so that's our little paragraph, and let's run it backwards. God sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved. For the reason is that God loved the world and gave us his Son. Why? So that the plan of salvation works when you look on the serpent like the people in Moses' day did. Eternal life becomes yours. Are you following me? All right. Now, we've already covered John 3:16 last week. Let's look at John 3:15 and John 3:14 one more time. Look, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How? Well, on the cross, right? That whoever believes in him, Son of Man, should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the point. That's what he says to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, this is how the plan of salvation works. The Son of Man came into the world because God loves the world and sent him to save the world. And when he's lifted up on the cross, those who look to him and believe in him, like happened with Moses and the Israelites and the serpent, they will be saved. They will have eternal life. Now, let's go back and look at this passage in the Old Testament, shall we? All right, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 21, and I'm using the New American Standard Bible for the Old Testament here. And here we are in Numbers chapter 21, at verse 4. It says, then they, that is the Israelites, set out from Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. Now, there was a main highway running right through Edom, which is on the east side of the Jordan River, modern-day country of Jordan, called the King's Highway. It was like Interstate 95 going through there. But we know from another passage here in the Old Testament that the king of Edom would not allow the Israelites to use it, even though Moses promised, We'll just stay on the road. We won't deviate in any way. The king said no. So they had to swing way east, like into where Iraq would be today, way east, to go around, maybe not all the way to Iraq, but in that direction. And out in that wilderness, there was no King's Highway. There were no inns along the way. There was nobody, you know, sitting there selling candy bars to people who went by. None of that. It was just that horrible wilderness, as the Bible calls it. And out in that wilderness, there are snakes. Yeah, let me show you a picture. They're called Palestine vipers. Let me put it up on screen for you. These are nasty snakes. Of course, I don't like any snake, but these are really nasty snakes. They're relatives of the cobra, and their venom is incredibly toxic unless you've got anti-venom. And of course, back here in the days of Moses, there was no anti-venom. You got bit, you died. And God sent these snakes, watch, among the people while they were going there, out in this terrible wilderness. Look with me. Verse 5, and the people spoke against God and Moses, and they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food. What are they talking about, miserable food? Well, manna. Remember manna dropped from heaven 6 days a week? And the Bible said it tasted wonderful, like honey, like coriander seed. But they were sick of it. They've been eating it for like 40 years. And they fixed manna every way it's possible to fix it. They'd have fried manna and boiled manna and broiled manna. And they had manna pancakes. And they had, you know, manna soup. And they had manicotti. Yeah, I love that. They had manicotti. Yeah, and they were sick of it. They fricasseed manna. They were sick of it. And he started to complain. So look what God did. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord and you. Please intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us. And Moses interceded for the people. Notice here the people admit that they're wrong. They repent. They come back to God humbly and ask for his forgiveness and his mercy. Look at this. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 8, make a fiery serpent out of bronze and set it on a standard, on a pole. And it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at this bronze serpent, he shall live. This was the promise of God. Look and live. Title of our message today, look and live. Now watch. And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard, the pole. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man or woman, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. Now, there are artists down through history who have painted this scene. Let me show you a couple. One from 1590, as you see in the black and white picture I'm putting up. And then another from one of the corners of the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel, painted by Michelangelo. A very famous depiction that's there in the Sistine Chapel in Rome. So, let's summarize. What's going on here? God judged these people for their sin against him. He brought snakes. The snakes bit them. They were certain to die. They repented and came and asked God for forgiveness and mercy. And God gave them that mercy by putting up this bronze serpent. And he said, look, here's my promise. You look at the serpent if you're bitten. Don't do anything on your own. Don't try to suck the poison out or tourniquet it, your leg, or do anything like that. No, no, no. You just look at my solution. You look at my act of mercy the serpent in of bronze, and I will cause you to live. That's God's promise. So when you look, implicit in the fact that you're looking is the fact you're believing God, that he said, when you look, you'll live. I'm sure there were some people who said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. How, that's so simplistic. What's wrong with you? You know, stop looking at some bronze serpent's not going to heal you. Come over here to the doctor. We'll work on this. No, no, no. Those people died. God gave a promise, and God said, if you'll trust my promise, and just trust my promise that I'm telling you the truth, if you've been bitten, you'll live. That's my promise, and I will back it up and keep it. Do you understand? Okay. Now, what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is that this is how the plan of salvation works. Just as the serpent, he said, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross to pay for the sin of the world by shedding his blood. Do you understand? And we as sinners are spiritually dead and are spiritually cadavers, and we're headed for eternal death in hell. But if we will believe God's promise, and what is God's promise? Well, let's go back to John chapter 3, verse 15. It says that whoever believes in him, the Son of Man, lifted on the cross, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's God's promise. And God says, if you'll come, turn, just make a 180-degree turn and admit that you are wrong and admit that you're going to die without my help eternally and confess that you're a sinner against me. If you'll just do that and put away every other remedy, do you understand these Israelites had to put away every other remedy for that snake bite and not use any of them, but just simply trust the promise of God by looking at that snake? God says, if you'll put away every other remedy and just trust my promise that you put your faith in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross, and I'll give you eternal life. He gave them healing in Numbers 21. He'll give you eternal life. And he's just looking at people who are willing to believe this with all of their heart and take God at his word. That's how the plan of salvation works. It's simple. Folks, God doesn't want the plan of salvation to be hard. Why would God make it hard? For this is the will of God, that everyone would come to repentance and eternal life. 1 Timothy 2. God wants everybody to come to Christ and be saved. And why would he make it difficult? He wants to make it so easy that a child can do it. My son James gave his life to Christ when he was less than 3 years old, about a few months less than being 3 years old. And as far as I know, he's never had a crisis of faith since, and he's in his 40s and still walking with the Lord and loving the Lord. My son Justin came to Christ before he was 4 years old. Asked me one night when he was going to bed, Daddy, can you please come in my room? I'd like, can you pray with me? I want to ask Jesus in my heart. I said, I certainly can. And he's walking with the Lord today as a 40-year-old man. God wants to make it so simple. A three-year-old can do this. A four-year-old can do this. And it's just as simple as this. When we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our one and only hope of eternal life, God promises to give us that eternal life. Just as when those Israelites who were bitten and dying look to the serpent for their healing, their physical healing, God gave it to them. Just like he gives us eternal healing when we look to Christ and have no other remedy. The Israelites had to have no other remedy. We have none. Okay. Wow. Jesus said, Nicodemus, you want to understand the plan of salvation? You know that passage in the Old Testament? about the bronze serpent? That's what you've got to do, except make me the bronze serpent and you the person bit by the snake. But it's the same process. It's the same plan of salvation. It's just that the serpent is now Jesus, and we are now the people who've been bitten by the snake of death and sin in God's judgment. Okay, that leads us to ask our most important question. Are you ready? I got some emails from last week saying, you didn't ask us, so what? You didn't say how sweet it is. Well, okay, you're right. I didn't. So we'll do it this week. Okay, you ready? So what? Here we go. One, two, three. So what? Yeah. And as a new year of life for us begins, what do we say? Lord Jesus, thank you. What is it? How sweet. Come on. It is. Yes. Now, what difference does this passage make to you and me? Well, it helps us understand how the plan of salvation operates. The beauty of God's plan of salvation. The simplicity of God's plan of salvation. To put it simply, the way that these Israelites obtained physical healing is the exact same way we as sinners obtain eternal healing. And how did they do it? Let's just remind ourselves, number one, they understood, number one, that they had a fatal problem. Just like we need to understand that because we're sinners, we have a fatal problem facing the judgment and the holiness of God in the afterlife. And number two, they realized that they were powerless to save themselves. There was nothing they could do to stop that snake bite from killing them. Nothing. Just like there's nothing we can do to become righteous in God's sight and have our sins forgiven in our own energy and power. Nothing we can do. Principle number three, they turned to God in humble repentance. They came back and said to Moses, we have sinned. Please intercede with God on our behalf. We're sorry, Moses. We repent, Moses. We were wrong, Moses. We accept the responsibility of what we did. And this is the same thing we have to do. We have to come back to God and repent of our sinfulness and tell God that we're willing to live a different way and that we're sorry. With his help, we want to live differently. And finally, number four, the Israelites did exactly what God told them to do. He told them, look at the serpent. That's it. Simple. And we have to do exactly what God tells us to do. And that is, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your complete trust in his death on the cross for you and his blood shed for you to pay for your sins. You look to him as your one and only hope of your sins being forgiven. Just like the Israelites looked to that bronze snake as their one and only hope of healing. As your one and only hope of getting into heaven. Look to him, and I, God says, in response, I will give you eternal life for believing my promise. Okay, got it? Now, I hope that makes the plan of salvation clear to you, like Jesus was trying to make it clear to Nicodemus. I want to quote now, as we close, from that great commentator, Matthew Henry. Let's put it on the screen. Here's what he said. The uplifted serpent would not cure if it were not looked upon. If any Israelite tried to clean their own wound, or if for any other reason they refused to look at the bronze serpent, they died. But whoever looked up at the serpent on the pole, though with a weak and failing eye, that person was utterly healed. In the same way, any sinner who despises God's method of salvation in Jesus Christ, his wound, without a doubt, will be fatal. But whoever believes in Christ, even though his faith may be weak and failing at times, that person shall not perish, for this is the promise of him who cannot lie. Wow. What a great quote. What a great quote. Your faith doesn't have to be the faith of Moses. It just has to be genuine. When I looked to Christ 50 years ago, I didn't have the faith of Moses. I was teetering on the edge of unbelief and belief. I was brand new and just trying to figure out this, but I was willing to take God at his word. And I was willing to look to Christ and not to anything human that I could ever do or say or feel or think or perform. And even though my faith was faltering, and even though it was a little shaky 50 years ago, God did what he said he would do, and he will for you. Okay, let me close with a verse from the book of Isaiah that fits in here. Let's put it on the screen, Isaiah 45:22. Ready? Look to me. It doesn't say here, look to your religious works. Look to your good deeds. Look to your trying to keep the Ten Commandments. Look to your human performance. Look to Buddha. Look to Muhammad. Look to Mormonism. Look to Jehovah's Witnesses. Look to L. Ron Hubbard and Scientology. No. Look to crystals. No. It says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other. Gosh, I sure hope you're looking to the Lord Jesus lifted up like that serpent was, knowing the promise of God will be true. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for explaining to Nicodemus and to us the simplicity, the beauty of the plan of salvation that you created. We don't have to fix ourselves up. We don't have to clean ourselves up. We don't have to dress ourselves up. All we got to do is look to the cross. Just bring our sinful self to the cross and say, Lord, I look to you. And I'm trusting God to keep his promise to me. He who believes in me, Jesus says, has eternal life. John 5:24. And he will never come into condemnation, for he is passed and she is passed from death into life. Lord, thank you for making it so simple for people like us. Help us to cling to the cross and your promise. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen and amen. Now, what was that we just did? What was it? Come on, say it with me. That was what? Preaching. Yes, it was. And you can use these verses right here in John 3:14 and 15 to show anybody using the Numbers 21. How to come to Christ. It's easy to show them here. Well, next week, we're going to pick up in John chapter 3, and we got a very exciting passage next week. And if you've ever wondered about original sin, what that means, and all of the ramifications, be here next week on Live with Lon. God bless.